This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Leadership is a word that gets thrown around, right? We don't have to tell you that. You could hear it during the commercial break. People that are running for office, whether it's city council or school board, so we have an election here tomorrow. Leadership, leadership, leadership. That word gets thrown around and around and around. And over the last year, I would say that we have seen the best and the worst of the use of that word. And our next guest is going to be doing a very special event with us next Thursday. You can go to nauticator.com and sign up for our Invest and Inspire series. As we've not been able to gather in large groups, you know, for years we had the Community Leaders Breakfast for a couple, two, three times a year. 700 or 800 people would gather to hear a great message and take that back to their workplaces or homes. And so we're doing the first of a series of these next Thursday. You can sign up for free at nauticator.com. And it's my great pleasure to welcome John Bates to the program with Executive Speaking Success. John, I don't know, when you say you're a leadership communication expert, what does that mean?
Well, you know, I think it's best captured in an equation that I made, because I'm a soft skills guy. I'm not really always so good at equations and things, but I came up with an equation for this: L equals F of C, which means leadership is a function of communication. And I feel like communication is at the root of all leadership, because it's at the root of how we deal with each other. You know, you can't be a great leader without great communication is my contention, I would say, I guess.
When you talk about the human condition, have we ever in our lifetimes been as challenged as we have been over the last 12, 13, 14 months, not only with the pandemic, but the divisive nature of politics today? Do you have any better understanding of the human condition today than you did a year ago?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, I base all my work in human evolutionary biology and human neurophysiology. And I think that this last year has proven something that I say a lot to be really, really true, which is communicating with human beings is not logical. Have you noticed, Brian? it's not logical. It's biological. And when you understand the biology involved, you understand that you can make it logical again. But if you go in with logic by itself and expect to win and expect to communicate well and expect to lead well, well, you'll just never, ever be as effective as you would be if you got that. Yes, logic matters, but it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. Logic is not enough. You must also make that emotional connection. You've got to deal with that non-logical side of the human brain as well.
Tell me your story. How did you get started? Talk to me about your career. You know, what got you to today?
Well, you know, somebody said to me the other day, "You got a really cool job. How did you get that job?" And I said, "Well, you know, I failed at everything else I tried." I was an entrepreneur for my whole life. I worked with dot-com companies. I was always the chief evangelist. I was always one of the founders or co-founders or super early employee. And I worked in the dot-com arena. And then, you know, everything dried up on me, and I had always been the soft skills guy, and I was always jealous of the people that I worked with who had the hard skills, you know, the finance guys and the programmers and the super logical types. And even though I raised several hundred million dollars with my various companies, you know, as the chief evangelist and as one of the founders, they still called what I did fluffy, you know. So in 2009, I went to the TED conference for the first time, and I just saw how incredibly powerful public speaking could be. And I remember thinking, okay, I've been a public speaker my whole life as the evangelist for these technology companies, but I've never done that. You know, that's something else. So I got super involved in TED and TEDx. And at one of the first ever TEDx events in Santa Monica, California, which is where I was living at the time, my friends were running it. I was volunteering for them. And we had this guy who was the one I was looking forward to that day. He had all the hard skills. He was set, you know, it was really an exciting topic. But the minute that he got up on stage and started to speak, I, along with everyone else in the room, just checked out because he was so nervous and awkward that we all felt like we were going to throw up. And I remember just being super sad at first because I've just seen that so often. People who had so much to offer, such great education, wanted to make a difference, but they just couldn't close the gap between their mouth and someone else's ears. And then after I was sad for a minute, the evil part of me popped out. And yes, I got that evil part. And I remember sitting there quietly to myself thinking, you know, ha, 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 hard skills guy is blowing it, neener, neener, neener. And, you know, as I was indulging that part of myself, my friend came over and he said something that completely changed my life. He said, dude, we got to do something to help people like this. And I remember it was really like the lights came on. I mean, people talk about moments like that. This was one of those moments. I just realized that if I got over myself for 5 minutes, I could totally make a difference for that guy. If I stopped honoring this chip on my shoulder and started honoring the people that were put right in front of me. And that's when I started working on what I now get to deliver all over the world. And, you know my clients, I pinch myself when I say it. A place like NASA and the astronauts and special operations and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's because of that moment. And what I did differently is I did what I said earlier. I based everything I did in human evolutionary biology and human neurophysiology so I could explain to someone, particularly someone who's very logical, hard skills, science driven, not only what works when it comes to communicating with and meeting human beings, but also why it works based in science. And that utterly, completely, totally transformed my life because it works like crazy because it's based in science. So that's something where that all came from.
You said something to me a few weeks ago that I've thought about a lot. And it seemed like a very simple comment at the time, but the more I think about it, you said we're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats. And it really did sort of break down in a very basic way what we're going through as a country, what we're going through as a world right now. Why do you suppose so many different boats when we are all facing the same storm?
It's such a great question, and that would be a fabulous dinner topic. But I think that the short answer for me, the appropriate answer right now is there are a few things. One is we all went into this storm in different boats in the first place, and I think that the word inequity or iniquity comes from inequity, and I think that, you know, people are just all over the maps with how much they have and with how, with their spiritual lives and their physical lives. And, you know, we just are all in different boats and we came into this storm in different boats. And some people some people are better off than others. And I think that was just a condition coming in. The other thing that I have not really been thinking about as much until you just said it, Brian, is the other aspect. It's not just that, you know, some people have more in their bank accounts and they have nicer houses and they have jobs that they can do remotely versus jobs that they have to go do in person. That's all true. And I think that's been made much clearer to all of us, just how much that's different. The other thing, though, is given social media and given the artificial intelligence that we've paid for ridiculous amounts, we've paid some of the smartest people in the world to create artificial intelligence for platforms like Facebook and YouTube. And the end result, the ultimate goal of that artificial intelligence, nobody really knew, but it turns out it's to divide us. And so I think we're all in different boats in terms of our news feed and what we think is reality and what we're paying attention to. And it's, you know, if you sit down with your closest friend or your wife or your partner's news feed and you look at it, you're just going to see a different reality than they see, than you typically see on your feed. And you know, that is another thing that has put us all in this. We're all in the same storm. That wasn't really something we had much to say about. But this different boats is not just physically and monetarily and that, but it's also in the reality that we actually live in as we listen and watch those feeds from social media companies.
We're visiting with John Bates. He'll be with us live next Thursday at noon Central. You can sign up for free at nowdecatur.com. We're partnering up with Hickory Point Bank to bring this leadership series to the masses. Talk to me, and I don't know this story, but I know that you had a near-death experience.
I did. You know, I was an entrepreneur, as I said, my whole life, raised a lot of money and never had a successful exit. So, don't be jealous because I didn't have a successful exit. But the last really big company that I put together was a company called BigWords.com. And I had, I was one of four co-founders. We were the dot-com darlings. We raised over $80 million and, things went really well till they didn't. And then the market turned and we went out of business. Our investors said, look, we just don't think you can be profitable fast enough. You know, you've done everything we've told you. You've done a good job, but we're not going to be able to turn the corner here. So we're just pulling the plug on this. And I was so ashamed and so angry and so hurt and so scared and so sad and just every negative emotion you can imagine, that I almost died of an autoimmune disease. And the other thing that goes into it in a big way was not just the stress of losing the company, but it was the fact that for so many years I had been sleeping just far too little, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever. And it was so it all came together when we lost the company and I almost died of an autoimmune disease. It's thing called Stevens-Johnson syndrome. People can look it up, but it was a very fast onset disease that would give me ulcerations in my mouth and all my mucous membranes. Then I would get dots on my skin, and the end game is the dots connect, your skin sloughs off, you go blind and die in the burn unit. And I was on my way there, sitting in the hospital with the doctors thinking I was going to die, and I had a conversation with whatever it is that has created this wonderful place where we all live. And I said, look, if you just let me walk out of here, I promise I'm going to change things about how I've been. Cause I realized I'd been very selfish and small and focused on me, 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 me. And when I was sitting there faced with dying, I that's not what I wanted to leave. You know, that wasn't the legacy I wanted. So I said, if you let me live, I promise the thing I'll care more than anything about is just making a difference. That's all I really care about. Please give me another chance. And I got to walk out of the hospital and I was not okay for a long time, but I got to live and here I am. And that experience completely transformed my life. And
I got to tell you, John.
Sorry?
Yeah, I got to tell you, the thing I find so unique about you and your presentation and working with you is your embrace of failures and things that people are afraid to talk about or people are ashamed to talk about. We have such a crisis in this country right now with mental wellness and mental health.
Yeah.
Having these honest conversations, I think, are the key to getting through that, yet so few people are willing to do it.
You know, it's why I call it one of the greatest leadership opportunities ever, because no one wants to go first. It's what I call, Brian, insightful vulnerability, not just vulnerability, but what did you learn from that experience? Yeah, you fell down, but, or you messed up. I messed up. I lost my whole company in $80+ million. Well, I also learned something, and so when I tell that story, I also try to share what I learned because that's good information. And I've come to call that insightful vulnerability. And, no one wants to go first with that, but everybody wants to go second or third or fourth. And it will make a difference if we do that with each other, if we share that with each other. And, so being a leader at the buffet table, that doesn't make a difference. You know, anybody would be willing to go first. But being a leader when it comes to insightful vulnerability, that can save a life. You know, that can utterly change someone's life. That is just one of the greatest leadership opportunities of all time. And it's really scary. But if you share where you failed and what you learned and you give us that insight, that's what we're going to focus on. You know, I was always afraid people would think, oh, what a loser, you know, lost $80 million. And it still kind of gives me a stomach ache to say that. But what people really get out of that is not that I'm such a loser that I lost $80 million. They're actually like, wow, you lost $80 million? That's a lot. And I love that lesson you learned. And so people react differently, I think, than I expected. And I think you're right. It makes such a difference. And people are in a really tough spot right now. And that insightful vulnerability can show someone that they're not alone and that they don't feel bad, you know.
You've worked with a lot of very different sort of organizations. I have to ask you about NASA because I'm a huge space program fan, and I just consume all of it. And the first time I had a video conference with you, you had literally in your background one of the astronauts you were working with at the International Space Station. Talk to me about working with astronauts and their completely unique view, because there's so few of them that have been able to see the Earth from that perspective.
Well, you know, it's one of the coolest things in my life. It certainly was bucket list because I'm a super geek. You know, my son is named after a star. So getting to do that was just an all-time high for me. And what I learned that I think is really, really relevant is that they're just some of the nicest people ever. And in fact, that is the final test to become an astronaut. You can pass all the other tests, but if the current astronauts don't think that you are absolutely likable, you don't get to be an astronaut, because you're going to be up on the space station representing the United States. You're going to be crammed into tight quarters with your colleagues all the time, doing training and then up on the space station and beyond. And so being likable, just being genuinely likable, is the ultimate final test to become an astronaut. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that they all talk about is the fact that when you get up there and you see this, the entire Earth, you see this round ball that we live on, and when you see just how much nothingness there is everywhere around it, I mean, we are out here alone. That is our home. It's the only one we got. And all of a sudden, they just completely have an aha moment that we need to take care of this thing. And it kind of reminds me of what we've all been through with coronavirus, you know. This was a global phenomenon. Like we have our opportunity right now to have had what they call the overview effect. When you see the Earth in its entirety and its fragility hanging there in the blackness of space, we all have that opportunity right now in some ways because of this virus. It swept over the entire planet. It didn't care about who you were or what you thought. And, you know, it was a global phenomenon. And that kind of brings us back to, we're all in the same storm, but we're not in the same boats, you know.
It's unbelievable. John, I cannot wait until next Thursday. I'm so excited to bring you to all of the folks here in Central Illinois. And we really appreciate it, John. We'll see you next Thursday. Thank you very much. John Bates from Executive Speaking Success. He was early in with the TED Talks, and it was a venture capitalist for years in Silicon Valley, and has – I don't want to take – I mean, I'm careful in that this is a tease and not the full thing.
I think you could tease for 2 hours, and he'd still have material. He's got,
oh, yeah.
There's some depth there, Brian.
He is, I'll tell you why, you can be inspired and motivated by a lot of things in life. But him and the way he explains vulnerability and touching on things that people are embarrassed or ashamed to touch on is the complete difference of like the WeWork documentary that I watched with this Andrew Newman, who like had no self-awareness and had sort of that messiah-like effect on people and raising money. And really, man, if you haven't watched that thing on Hulu, I watched it like literally Friday afternoon. It's called WeWork or The Making and Breaking of a $47 billion Unicorn. The documentary is absolutely a must-see on Hulu. It was available starting Friday. But there's two paths you can, you can lead this way or you can lead this way.
Yeah.
And I've always thought this, that most people are followers. And I don't mean that as a pejorative or an insult. Meaning is if you take the torch and you walk this way, a lot of people will follow you. Or you take the torch and you walk that way and a lot of people will follow you. And if that's a guy or gal with bad intent or no self-awareness or no whatever, you can lead a lot of people down a bad path. And what John understands is the biology behind that. He told me the most fascinating story about how human beings communicate with the whites of their eyes, meaning like in animal kingdom, you don't see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go to a wolf or anything else and kind of roll your eyes to the left or the right, they have no idea what you're doing. But the communication level with human beings, the things that you have in common, the things that are built in and innate, he is fascinating. Sign up for free. Nauticator.com. It's an hour long, and the whole idea is just to give you a perspective that maybe you haven't thought about, and how to be a really good leader.
Well, I'm in on it.
Next
Thursday.
Wait.
I can't wait.
The 15th at noon. It's noon to one, and it's free of charge, thanks to Hickory Point Bank, the Invest and Inspire series. We're going to be doing these every quarter or so, bringing featured speakers to you just for a lunch hour. Maybe you just need a little boost. Maybe you just need a little different way of looking at things or perceiving things or a little more self-awareness. And who couldn't use that? All of us, right?
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.